Welcome to Nice Ashes. I'm Mike.
And I'm Nate. What wondrous cigar are we smoking today, Mike?
Well, today we are going to smoke something that we have been looking forward to. The Rico Barato Robusto, I'm going to say Connecticut.
Yeah, I believe it's Connecticut.
I believe it's a Connecticut. Now, this is the first time that I've ever considered not smoking the cigar and lying because I am not looking forward to this particular cigar.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that until I put it in my mouth to wet the cap, and all the traumatic experiences from the torpedo version that we previously smoked came flooding back. There were like choppers in the sky, and Creedence Clearwater Revival was playing somewhere in the background, and the trees were speaking Vietnamese or something.
Did you talk about how much you hated the Eagles, man?
No. So you might be able to tell listeners at Bike is that I'm just getting over a rather long, like, cold. I don't know. It's been going on for like a week or something ridiculous. But all that's kind of left is kind of this dry cough that happens from time to time. But hopefully it won't interrupt my enjoyment of this fine smoke.
Yes.
I guess, and the good news is it's considerably shorter than the torpedo, so.
God, I hope so. I hope so. What are you pairing it with?
Oh, God, I just lit it. Sorry. Well, I'm reconsidering my choice, because now I just want to go to the nearest liquor store and get a big old bottle of gin. That's the only thing I've ever blacked out on. I am drinking a Winter Ride Double Bock. It's a double bock lager, and it is, I believe it's the Joseph Brau brand from Trader Joe's. Yeah, Joseph Brau Brewing from San Jose, California. But as it just happened to be Thanksgiving, and well within winter parameters here, this is actually the first time recording I've had my heater going in my garage. So I thought a Winter Ride would be seasonally appropriate.
Very nice.
What are you pairing yours with? Sorry for my long rambling preamble.
Oh, no. I have the remainder of a glass of Bordeaux from dinner.
Nice.
And Guinness. I'm going to drink some Guinness. Because
you don't normally drink Guinness.
Horrible.
That's weird. Huh? Mike. You don't normally drink Guinness. That's weird. Just kidding.
First time on the show. Just a First joke. Time on the show.
Yeah. So the cap is very acetone-y. I think that's a word. And the first puff was absolutely horrendous.
This tastes like what stale cigarettes smell like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that smell you get in a room where the cigarette smoke is old and stale.
Yep.
That's what this tastes like. It is awful.
This,
truly,
yeah, I mean, so
miserable.
I guess if you had yourself, right, a cigar wrapper that was ready to go, and you went around to, I don't know, 5 or 10 different public ashtrays and just took those ashes and put them in the wrapper and then lit it and smoked it, that's about what this is. What this tastes like so far. I mean, it burns my mouth. It's burning my mouth.
I mean, I even get that ashy,
I know,
taste, aftertaste. Like, has an ashy, like, 1992 ashtray in a 85 Chevrolet ashtray taste in my mouth.
Yeah, or you and your little kid and you and your family, you just walked into the Perkins and they ask you if you want the smoking or non-smoking section. And somewhere somebody laughs because there is no difference. They didn't actually separate those by doors or anything.
Right. Those listeners who are probably under, what, 30? I've never probably been into a building that had smoking in it. We were adults before they banned smoking in buildings, but...
Oh, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was... I used to love going into bars and smoking a cigarette. I won't tell a lie. I was always mad because they would ban smoking cigars, even before
the
cigarette ban. So, that was always a pain. The casinos would sell cigars.
Do people still do those clove cigarettes? I remember those being big for a while.
They're clove cigars now. They banned them, so they just changed them from a cigarette to a cigar. The word on the package.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know somebody who smokes Jarum Blacks still.
Okay.
So, yeah, yeah. Joy, joy, right?
Well, yeah, joy, joy. This thing is terrible, dude.
It is. I mean, it's awful. I think I'd rather smoke a candle.
Yeah, I'd rather smoke one of those earwax candles that they use to get the earwax out.
This is horrifying. I'm gonna have to burn an incense in my porch.
I have to burn an incense in my mouth to get this taste out.
Yeah.
I might have to
upgrade to some whiskey here about halfway through, depending on how bad this goes.
Yeah. This might be a contender. Might be a contender. I mean, so I just looked back in this one, whatever the hell it's called, the Rico Barato Maduro Torpedo, we rated a solid 1. And the Connecticut Torpedo, we rated a 1.25. And I feel like this one is already worse than both of those.
I mean, but I'm not Nostradamus, but
I you can think it's going to get better? Is it going to get better?
One in my future.
Well, what's concerning, Mike, is the Maduro Torpedo we rated lower than the Connecticut Torpedo. So what horrors do we have next episode in store?
I am going to have to get a dram or two of whiskey, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, this one might take the cake from the cult Blood Red Moon. I don't know, man. This one is...
Yeah, I don't know. That's, it's hard to, the thing with the cult was that I had very high expectations. So that made it a betrayal, not just a disgusting cigar. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so, I came into this cigar with low expectations, but holy fuck.
My low expectations have been been undermined.
Somehow, yeah.
Somehow.
This cigar company has like found the bottom and somehow kept digging.
Yeah, this is worse than a gas station cigar, for sure.
Yeah, I would smoke a handful of Swisher Sweets before lighting another one of these.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, we're going to smoke it to the end. It might redeem itself.
Maybe.
But I think this is going to go well with our topic.
All right. Is it worst ways to clean out an ashtray, number one, using your tongue?
It is very similar to that, but different.
Okay.
So everybody has hopefully had a happy Thanksgiving, and the verbal battle with your uncle over politics didn't turn into a physical battle, which I've never gotten to a verbal altercation with any of my uncles, but apparently that's a trope that people fight with their relatives at Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a trope. I've definitely had some, I wouldn't really even call them heated discussions, but, you know, somebody always tends to bring it up, or at least they used to when I was younger, and maybe they weren't used to having, you know, like me being an adult, or other people that used to be kids now were adults that had, you know, adult opinions. Not that my opinions right at the time were right, but, you know, somebody always tried to bring something up, and then you get a disagreement and people get kind of upset, but it wasn't really ever yelling or name calling or anything like that. It was kind of one of those things where people's feelings got a little hurt and they were just like, well, I guess we're not going to talk about that topic anymore. So,
right.
At least in my family.
And I mean, we have these political discussions, but nobody ever gets their feelings hurt because, I don't know, we try to pretend to be normal, rational adults who can disagree.
Are you talking on the show or in real life, Mike?
Right? No shit, huh? So what we're going to talk about today is related. We're going to talk about the ballot measures for 2024.
All right. You know,
the thing that is probably really important, but very few people, it just didn't get covered in national news. So well,
how could it? There's too many people screaming into their pillows still.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous how pissed off people are when, like, your local school board election is infinitely more important than the presidential election,
yeah,
most likely.
Well, we didn't talk about it yet on the show, but I do want to tell you, Mike, I did go down and vote.
Oh, you did? We haven't even talked about it like in
off
real
the
life
show,
either.
We haven't talked to each other for a little bit. I know we put these episodes out every week, but sometimes, because we do several a night when we're recording, Mike and I will go for a bit before we talk. So I did go down and vote, and I was trying to vote off. So apparently the school district... Well, we can talk about this next episode too, but the school district here, where my child goes to school, has the newspaper did a story on it, and it's like the most dysfunctional school board in the state or something, or at least in the cities. And there were two incumbents on the ballot, and there were three open seats, so I went and voted. I watched all their video statements online. One didn't provide it, so I didn't vote for them. Because if you can't do the bare minimum, you can't do the bare minimum, right? And but the two incumbents made it, but the one that I really wanted in got in. So that was good. And then my wife didn't bother reading that she could vote for three and only voted for one. So that's okay.
I only voted for two in my local school board election, but yeah, that's okay. Did you vote yes on Prop 1 or no on Prop 1?
I voted yes to use the lottery money for wildlife or land, right?
Yes. Yeah. 83% of the population voted yes.
Yeah.
And last I checked, it was like 12% no, and the remainder was people who didn't answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I just figured they already have that money. They already have that money coming in, so they better use it for that, something that's good. Because if you vote no, then they just have extra money to spend on keggers or something, right?
Yeah. Who the hell knows what they'd use it for? That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I also voted yes.
Yeah, they did a technology school levy thing that I also voted yes for, which was a little more controversial. I talked to one of my friends who was like, "Oh, I just vote no on those all the time." I'm like, "Well, whatever. Technology."
We didn't have a levy on my ballot this year, so that's good. Our school board election was all about candidates who supported a levy versus candidates who didn't.
Okay,
more or less. So, and surprise, surprise, all the candidates who said no levy won. So,
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, it seemed pretty clear they're going to use it for technology. I don't know that there's any like watchdogs to prove that they do that, but pretty easy sell for me. Oh, you want the kids to have technology so they can survive in whatever year they end up graduating, you know, 2040 or whatever it is. Why not?
So, anyway, abortion. We had a ton of states have abortion on the ballot, a ton. And it's faster to go through the states where we had failures. So Florida, their constitutional amendment to legalize abortion failed because their threshold was 60% and it only got 57.
Yep.
And then in Nebraska, they legalized abortion for the first trimester and banned it after that, except in cases of sexual assault or incest.
Okay. Now, I know it's a little controversial, but some of the people that would like abortion legal everywhere, I mean, a lot of times women don't know that they're pregnant. I mean, you can't really tell medically for sure for I don't even remember what the period is, but you're most of the way through the first trimester, I think. You're part of the way through anyway, halfway, I don't know.
Right. I don't know a whole lot about it, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I just take a hard line stance and be done with it, you know.
Yeah. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just
information. Yeah, information, man. So and in South Dakota, they tried to add the right to abortion to their constitution and it failed. South Dakota's amendment process they're really goofy because their Supreme Court can overrule the voters even though they have propositions. They voted to legalize marijuana a couple years ago and the governor was opposed to it and somehow she got the Supreme Court to overthrow it. So I don't think that their propositions mean anything. Like their government doesn't abide by them. Yeah, that's a little
fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So but anywhere, then Arizona, Colorado, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, and New York all legalized abortion. So most places, they want legal abortion. Even in Nebraska, it only failed by 1%.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much 50-50, even in places where you would think it wouldn't be. You know, like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's I don't understand why it's even an issue.
Well, it's an issue because the media whips it up into an issue and you've got it's the same thing with the, you know, the presidential election, let's say, because I think we just had one. You've got the crazy mega people who make up a very small percentage of the population. And then you've got a small percent of the, you know, liberals screaming into their pillows on TikTok and crying and saying their life is over. But they make up a very small percentage of the population because when you look at it, most people aren't on either extreme and they're somewhere nearish the middle. Sure, they might be a little different here or there. And they might say, oh, abortion in the first trimester, fine, second trimester, not. And the other person is like, well, I think second trimester is fine, but third trimester is straight out. You know, and you get those little differences here and there. But by and large, I think a majority of the population lives in that middle ground and you've got these wild outliers, you know, on either side, and the media whips it up to be a big thing because that's what's fun or that's entertainment. That's what gets viewers watching. It's clickbait.
It is, and it's a traditional wedge issue that, similar to gay marriage, slowly became not a wedge issue anymore, you know?
Yeah.
A majority of people feel one way about it, and that's just that simple, but how she goes. Apparently, there was a bunch of ballot measures for citizenship and people voting who aren't citizens, which is crazy to me that that's even a ballot measure. Yep. But everywhere that had it prohibited people who are non-citizens from voting. So that was – and by huge margins, by the way. We're talking 81, 86, 70, 77. Yeah. These are not even close.
Those are like double landslide numbers.
Those are double landslide numbers. And a lot of the no votes were probably people that didn't even vote on them. Because most of these ballot measures, if you don't vote, it's a no.
Okay.
So if you don't fill it out, it counts as a no.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just goofy as shit.
Why would anybody want anybody who's not a citizen to vote? That doesn't even make any sense.
A liberal is a strong term. A Democrat talking point in some major cities right now. And who the hell is for that? Immigrants aren't for that. If you're a legal immigrant, you certainly don't want illegal immigrants to vote.
Yeah.
Right? Who wants that? Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Well, very few, obviously. Very few
people want that.
Yeah, very few.
Speaking of Democrats, did you see Bernie Sanders' statement?
Oh, how the Democrats abandoned working class people?
Yeah, they should be surprised that the working class people abandoned them.
Yeah. Yes, I did. And I also saw that Nancy Pelosi shit on him.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't she? He said he was
a loser who never won a national election.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no Bernie Sanders stock index, is there? You only got the Pelosi one. So who's the real winner, right?
Right. That's funny. So we have a bunch of ballot measures for criminal justice. And the only real one I want to focus on is in California.
Okay.
Because we have this notion that California is this, like, commie liberal paradigm where they just allow criminality on the streets.
I thought that was Oregon, dude.
Oregon as well. So the ballot measure was increase penalties for certain drug crimes and theft convictions and allow a new class of crime to be called treatment mandated felony.
Okay.
And that passed with 69% of the vote.
Nice.
So even in like what is traditionally considered to be the liberal state of California, it was double. I mean, 2/3 of the people there think that they need to start locking people up.
Yeah.
And most of these crime ballot measures passed pretty handily.
Yeah.
So Arizona made child trafficking a lifetime sentence, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. As it should be.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think most people do, obviously.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Go on, Mike.
Oh, I say in Arizona, 64% of the population thinks that child sex traffickers should go to prison for life. Who's the 36 is what I want to know.
Yeah, because they're not coming to my barbecue.
Right, exactly. So anyway, go ahead, Nate.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, with most things political, it's kind of, in my opinion, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, or if I'm way off base, but it seems like it's kind of a pendulum, you know, like the country shifts conservative for a few years or you know, a few presidential terms. And then they're like, well, I think we went a little too far that way. And then it kind of shifts back to the, you know, liberal Democrat side. And then it just kind of undulates between those two.
For presidential elections, that's true. This cycle has been very strange because there's a lot of people who think that there is probably a political alignment happening right now. And the traditional liberal policies are going to get picked up by the Republicans and traditional conservative policies are getting picked up by the Democrats, with like social policy being not necessarily an outlier, but almost not within the traditional left-right paradigm that we used to know.
Okay. Is this kind of like the restructuring of what happened in Racine, Wisconsin, when Republicans were kind of like born from the Democrats, or the parties switched because the old school Democrats were politically aligned with modern day Republicans? There's something weird that happened.
Something weird that happened in the 1950s and 60s that caused a party switch.
Yeah. I don't know what that could be.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. There's something similar. People are theorizing that we're in the middle of something like that happening now.
Yeah.
Where big money interest is realigning. Let's put it that way.
Well, and I think too, you can, if we want to take it a step or a circle outside in the media, you've, you know, any kind of consumable media, let's say music, movies, and video games, you've got a big push now from the demographic that typically goes and watches and consumes these things, that are refusing any kind of social preaching, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it. And so you've got these big media houses pandering to, you know, let's say 2-3% of the population, and they're continually surprised when their product doesn't sell more than 2-3% of what they estimated it to sell. But they're, you know, you're pandering to 2-3% of the population. And I think the 3% is being a little generous. And it's the same thing with the political spectrum. And we're probably not trying to talk about the presidential race, but if you have a party that's pandering to 2 to 3% of the population, it's not really a surprise when the other 97% votes a different way. Not that 97% of people voted for Trump. That's not what I'm trying to say, but.
Right. Well, this is what I mean. This goes to what you're saying.
Sure.
There were 6 ballot measures about wages, okay? California increased the state minimum wage to 18 per hour, failed. And in Massachusetts, increased the minimum wage for tipped employees to meet the state's standard minimum wage, also failed. Which California and Massachusetts are Democratic strongholds.
Yep.
Okay. Arkansas and Missouri, which are about the most conservative places on earth, both passed with 57 and 58% to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour and state mandated earned sick leave for employees.
Well, hell yeah.
Right? That's what I mean by there might be a realignment.
Yep.
Nebraska passed paid sick leave for all employees, state mandated, and Arizona blocked an attempt to lower the minimum wage by 3/4.
Nice.
So these traditional, quote-unquote, conservative places are the ones passing minimum wage laws and sick time for people, and the, quote-unquote, liberal places are not.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, right?
Yeah, very interesting.
Very interesting.
I did see somewhere somebody was proposing to lower the wages or salary that restaurants would have to pay their servers if they earn tips, to drop it to almost nothing. And I didn't read the whole thing because I was already enraged by the title or, you know, the headline, because I'm like, if you've never waited on somebody or been a server or known a server, like, they're not rolling in the fucking dough from these tips, right? Like, I don't know who thinks they're making all this money on tips. I mean, sure, that's where they make a majority of their money, because they don't have to pay them anything else. And then you have this weird kind of like tipping culture going on, which is
right.
Fucked up, I think. But
that was Arizona, by the way, I think.
Because okay.
Arizona's was allow for tipped workers to be paid 25% less per hour than minimum wage, provided the worker's total compensation was not less than the minimum wage plus $2. And 75% of the people voted no.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, that's
some fucked up shit.
It is. It is. Now, freedom took a hit because Nebraska legalized medical marijuana, but South Dakota, North Dakota, Massachusetts, and Florida all voted no. Massachusetts was actually for psychedelics.
Oh, okay.
Now, Florida was actually 56% yes, but their ballot measures require a 60% vote to pass.
Okay.
And then South Dakota had already passed the recreational marijuana, but it got turned down with the state constitution. It got vetoed.
Yeah.
And now it didn't pass, but how many people just didn't vote at all because it failed last time?
Yep.
And to my utter shame, North Dakota voted down legalized recreational marijuana.
Yeah.
So hard to say you're pro-freedom if you're not going to legalize marijuana, North Dakota.
Yeah. Well, and so like the governorship must not have been up for grabs this year. Because you said South Dakota had an anti-marijuana person as governor. So
oh yeah.
My guess Dome, is my guess is next time the governorship comes up, it'll be, you know, if that's really a hot button topic, it'll be someone else in there who won't veto the
quite possibly.
I mean, and that's
quite
where your possibly. Vote can really make a difference, you know, is the local stuff, to what Mike was saying earlier about the school board and things like that. I mean, a lot of this stuff is kind of the national media wants us to sit there and look at it like it's an instantaneous thing. Like, oh my God, you know, Trump is now president and this and the other thing are going to happen. And he's going to deport all these people and we're not going to be able to get abortions. And, you know, women are joining this 4B movement, which is great, by the way. Go join that. But it's
not.
Are
you being serious about that?
Well, no, I don't want anyone. Like, 4B is as dumb as screaming into a pillow on TikTok. Like,
explain,
how is that going to change
the listeners
anything?
Explain to the one listener that we have who's currently right now, I'm sure, working his ass off breaking his ISO tunes.
He doesn't like those, he said. He doesn't like
I know
those,
he doesn't
right?
like those because they're for
because he does
pussy
actual
electricians.
Work, he said.
Yeah, because they work hard.
we're dragging all of our other listeners, like in the UK and across the country, into this tradesman's dispute. What do they call them? Is it a sparky versus a dripper? Or I don't know what the slang lingo is, Mike.
Oh, I don't. I don't know what the slang for a plumber would be. Other than I know there's a difference between a fitter and a traditional plumber, I think.
Sure.
I don't know a whole lot about it. I'll be honest with you. I worry about my own problems. But
I have a lot more to worry about in my life. Well, let's see. I wanna pull it up. So there's this 4B movement, and or it's like the four no's, but it's a radical feminist movement that emerged in South Korea, of all things, in the mid to late 2010s on Twitter. The four tenets, which all start with the Korean language term bi, bi, roughly meaning no. So all of these super patriotic women who want to join super patriotic American things are joining a South Korean feminist movement. But basically, people who subscribe to the 4B tenets will not date, get married, have sex, or have children with men. So the four core tenets are no sex with men. So I guess, you know, lesbian sex is fine. No giving birth, no dating men, and no marriage with men. That's all fine. I was being a little sarcastic in the terms of, I don't know that. They did the same thing in the 1920s with the prohibition. You know, any lips that touch liquor won't touch ours. And how did that work out for everybody? I'm just saying, if you want to enact change or affect change, joining some random movement, I don't know. Like, there's other ways. And that's why I was saying, when Mike is talking about your local stuff being more important, it's more long-term than the media plays it out to be, because if South Dakota wants marijuana to be legal and the governor keeps vetoing it, well, guess what? What's their next play is to replace the governor. And then when it comes up on the ballot again, they can vote it in again, and hopefully that governor will listen and let it ride, you know? So you have to think more long-term in some of these things, because it's easy to get swept up in the, oh, is it going to be Trump or Kamala or Biden or Bush or Clinton or, you know, and that's 4 years. But your right. local stuff can affect more things than just, is marijuana legal? Because who elects the Electoral College, Mike? I don't even know.
The Electoral College is chosen by a very nebulous process, but the electors are chosen by the parties.
I thought you were going to say BlackRock.
No. The electors are chosen by the parties that win the
the
votes, basically. And the electors are not required to vote the same way that the voters voted.
I thought in some states they were required. Well, not the way the voters vote, but in some states, I believe they're legally mandated to vote how they disclosed they were going to vote. But in a lot of states, they can change their vote from what they indicated right. previously.
So I know that Maine and Nebraska both split their electoral votes.
Okay.
So it's closer to what the popular vote was. And I know that sure. certain states in the South don't require them to do anything. So let's say somehow magically the Libertarian Party won Kentucky. Yep. Kentucky could all vote for whatever candidate they wanted to, regardless of who won.
Yeah.
And that's how in the past, like college basketball coaches have gotten votes in the Electoral College and stuff
and
like
Mickey
that.
Mickey Mouse.
They can vote for Mickey Mouse in the Electoral College if they wanted to. It's all the electors.
So I don't want to detract from your topic, Mike, but my question, I've got a question. If we don't have time for it, we don't have time for it. That's fine. My question is, I know that with the creation of the Electoral College, it was meant as another safeguard, because the founding fathers wanted safeguard upon safeguard upon safeguard. And at that time, not a lot of people could read. Education levels were pretty low across the country. Do you still see the Electoral College as a safeguard or as a means of expediting? Because back then they didn't have the internet and they didn't have, you know, Scantrons and stuff like that. So the Electoral College might have also sped up counting the ballots and stuff too. So do you think it still serves a purpose?
Before we do that, and I will answer, I need to make a correction. It was not Arkansas that passed the minimum wage. It was Alaska. So the great liberal bastion of Alaska.
Yes.
You know, home of Sarah Palin. Anyway.
You know what she can see from her porch? I just heard this.
Russia.
Yeah. I'm just fucking around. How many elections ago was that? God damn, am I old.
That was 2008, wasn't it? That was 2008.
I think
that was when Barry ran for the first time.
Yeah.
It was McCain versus Barry.
Thanks, Obama.
And McCain lost himself that election by choosing Sarah Palin for sure. So he screwed himself out of the 2000 election and the 2008 election. So. Yeah,
not a smart statesman.
No. You can't attack evangelical Christians when you're running against George Jr. And yeah. You certainly shouldn't pick Sarah Palin as a running mate. She's a psycho.
Yeah. Was anyway. He the one that shot Bush with the shotgun, or was that someone else?
I think it was Dick Cheney shot his friend who was a Democratic lawyer. Quail hunting.
Yeah.
So, good. Yeah.
I'm also, I'm over halfway with this thing, and it's not good.
I just took the band off. I have probably 2 inches left. And same. It's gotten better, but I think it's because I'm slamming down the Guinness.
I don't think it's gotten better. I think we're getting better.
I drank a glass of Bordeaux, and the Bordeaux kind of just wiped all that horrible taste out of my mouth. Yeah,
I think we're getting better, Mike. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling better, but...
I'm feeling better, but this thing, if I focus on the taste too much... consciously, like my brain has kind of done that thing where if you have like a hike and you've got a blister, but you know you still have like 5 miles to go, your brain can kind of tune that out so you can finish your mission. And that's what my brain is doing with this thing. If I sit there and I think about the stuff I'm inhaling and the taste and everything, it tastes terrible in my mouth, like puckers, and it's gross. But if I don't think about it and just keep drinking beer, it's okay-ish, I guess, but in a way where I can tell I'm kind of actively distracting myself from it.
This tastes like it feels to watch the sun rise after you've played video games all night. Yeah. You know, it's not a good feeling.
No. Or it feels like you've just spent the night throwing up in a cornfield, and then the rays of sun start hitting your face, and you're like, oh no, I have to work.
The only thing that would make this better is if I was drinking a Bud Light.
With Dylan Mulvaney.
You know what? I would definitely drink a beer with Dylan Mulvaney. I think that'd be an interesting conversation.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I didn't mean that in a negative way. I just...
Yeah, it's a joke.
It's a joke.
So back to the Electoral College, Nate.
Yes.
It's a hot topic right now nationally. And I think that
it doesn't matter in this.
And the Congress are set up works even today. We do need to temper the power of the larger states with the Senate, which is what the purpose of the Senate is for, is to slow legislation down, with the smaller states having a quote-unquote equal say to the larger states, at least somewhat.
Yep.
And I think that the Electoral College needs to go. I think the president should just be popular vote.
Yeah.
I don't see any purpose for it. We have the technology to count votes accurately nationwide.
Yeah.
And the Electoral College just is an impediment to good policy at this point.
Yeah.
Because if you live in a place like I live, I didn't see a single national campaign ad in my local area. Like, they are not advertising where I live.
Yeah.
For good reason, because Minnesota has voted the same way forever, since Nixon. It's been a lifetime, literally a lifetime. So, and before Nixon, it was Democrat as well. So it's been Democrat since the party switch, and that's kind of scary. I think Eisenhower was the last Republican to win before Nixon.
Okay.
And Nixon won his second election, not his first election. So, yeah, they don't advertise here.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for them to do anything to please people here, more or less. Like, the issues that face us that could be assisted by the national government just are not going to be ever addressed because of the Electoral College. And I think a lot of places like California is the same way. Like, why would any presidential candidate give a shit about California or New York? Yep. They know how it's going to go. There's no reason to care about it at all. Yeah. Like, the issues that face them are irrelevant. So, and by the way, this hurricane that happened a few months ago is a perfect example. The total bumbling of the hurricane relief efforts. Well, of course they are. The Democrats know that they're not going to win those states. So who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. There's no skin off their back whether they die or not or whatever. It's a non-issue for the president because of the Electoral College. And it's not like any state has 90% of people voting for one political party. There's a mix everywhere. Even in counties that are quote-unquote dominated by one political party, it's still not much more than 50% for the most part.
Yeah. Well, not in Oklahoma, man. Did you see their county map?
Mm-mm.
It was the reddest thing I've ever seen.
What was their breakdown, though? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I understand.
Here, but I'll look it up. We'll do internet the show.
Sure, why not? It's better than smoking the cigar of the show. It's somehow gotten even worse now that I mentioned I wasn't paying attention to it Like it knows that I'm trying to ignore it, you know?
It's oh,
like,
it well, is.
Here's more vile than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, it is terrible. Yeah, live results to see if NBC has it. I tried to go to the attorney general for Oklahoma. So Trump won and he got 66.2%, which is a lot. But if there was no electoral college, you could at least try to decrease or increase that number and have it matter.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. Like, because it would be just a person by person vote. It wouldn't matter. Yeah. You would just need to try to make people happy with your policies everywhere instead of just in Pennsylvania and Georgia or, you know what I'm saying? Or in
Michigan,
the suburbs,
or right?
Yeah. The suburbs of Michigan is your only concern.
Yeah.
Because of the Electoral College. And the Democrats, Chuck Schumer himself said that they don't care about the working class vote in the Rust Belt. They want Republicans living in the suburbs is who they want to get. And that's because of the Electoral College.
Yeah.
So I think it's a relic of the past. It made sense 250 years ago, but for sure. it doesn't really
even make probably sense 100 anymore. Years ago or 150 years ago.
Oh, sure. 100 years ago, it made a lot of sense. Maybe 75 years ago.
Yeah.
But even 50 years ago, they had the technology to be able to count the votes accurately and quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think it serves a purpose anymore. It's kind of like the senators used to get picked by the governor of the states instead of being voted on. It's like, well, that is nonsense.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those people that thinks the Senate should be gotten rid of or that in Congress there should be states that get zero votes or something crazy like that.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the three-party system is good. I think it needs to be, you know, every once in a while you have to kind of update things to modern times. And I think the Electoral College is one of those things.
Right. It's like anything else. We were talking about it during hunting. My brother's a big fisherman, and they just lowered the walleye limit to 4. And he's like, well, they have to because the fishing equipment's too good. And we talked about it. They need to maybe ban some of this fishing equipment. Just ban it. It's too good. Yeah. The fish can't compete, so to speak. And we've banned hunting practices and fishing practices before. So,
I mean, crossbows are a good example because they're able to be used in archery season, but a lot of them can shoot almost. And I say almost, and I'm using that very liberally, but they're almost like a rifle because they have a scope on them. You get automatic or machine-assisted cocking mechanisms, and the materials that the arrows are made out of and the tension and the speed at which the arrow comes out of is drastically different than a recurve or even a compound bow. So
right. And I say the same thing about shotguns. There's certain places that have shotgun limits but they have shotguns that have rifle scopes and rifle barrels. And even worse than that, black powder. There's black powder guns that shoot every bit as good as like a shotgun for sure. If they're gonna have a black powder hunting season, they should be like smooth bored like muskets.
Yeah, those are like you're either killing a deer or you're fighting off the redcoats. Like it's a hobbyist, like enthusiast type of thing. It's not, can we make a black powder that's as accurate as a modern day, you know, 30-06? Well, of course we can, but that's not the spirit or intent of the black powder season or the archery season. So
right, and don't tell that to the guys that go out there black powder hunting with a souped up black powder gun that is accurate to 300 yards or, you know, whatever distance it is. I know some guys claim more than 300 yards of the black powder now. And it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And they have breech loaders that are basically just a bullet. Like you're just putting a bullet in that doesn't have a cap.
Yeah. It's not the Battle of Bull Run of days of yore anymore, is it, Mike?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You have any other ballot measures to talk about?
I mean, we could go through them all. Those are the big, there was 100 and, what was that, 100 and some ballot measures throughout the country this year. And there's a lot of states that hold ballot measures not on the general ballot. And that's something that we should change to.
Yeah.
Is there should be, and this is something that I wanted to talk about. I think that there should be an additional federal holiday. They just added Juneteenth.
Yep.
And I think that Election Day should be a federal holiday. And nationally, there should be a mandated paid time off to vote.
Yeah, I think
for those who do not have it off.
Yeah,
Which is already the case in Minnesota. So it's not a holiday, but it's the law here that your employer has to pay you to go vote if you choose to vote.
Yeah, is there an hour stipulation on that, or could you literally take the whole day?
You could take the whole day. It's written in such a way to where it's kind of nebulous.
Okay.
It's as much time as is required.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on election day because we allow early voting here at the courthouses.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think not federally mandated to be off because why not? You know, I mean, state workers and things get a bunch of days off, but big corporations don't want anybody to have any time off, and they begrudgingly give like Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving. Right.
They could even move Election Day to Veterans Day, which is already a federal holiday.
Yeah.
And we would be fine. Yep. Just say Veterans Day is now the first Voting Tuesday day. In November yeah. or whatever. So I'm for more holidays in general, but
yeah.
if we want our voting percentages to go up, which everybody should,
yep.
legal voters, then we have to do something.
Yep.
And all this crazy talk about, I think California passed a law saying that you weren't allowed to request an ID at the voting poll, which is kind of wild to me.
Yep.
It wasn't here. They must have passed it earlier. Let's see here.
Well, I didn't have to show my ID. I had to give my address and name.
Yeah, you're a registered voter. So you have to provide your address, your name, and they'll ask you your date of birth sometimes.
Yeah.
Depending. Or you can show an ID, which I just show my ID.
Yeah.
Because I am an adult and I have a fucking driver's license. So I don't think.
And we don't. People like you and myself don't really care. Like,
well,
what? I have to show my ID to vote? I have to show my ID to buy alcohol and cigars, man. Like,
yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't have that scanner they have at every fucking liquor store.
Yeah.
And scan the back of your ID. you know?
They already have the system in place.
Just be done with like, it. It's not impossible to do.
Not a big deal. I mean, I'm all for freedom and like lack of government oversight, but sometimes it's just like, if it's the easiest way to do it and the best way to do it and not get people voting that shouldn't be voting or multiple people or one person voting multiple times.
Right. And there's an argument in the past. There have been attempts to do voter ID that was prejudicial.
Okay.
Because of the types of IDs that they would and would not accept.
Yeah.
Now, you have to be very careful about what IDs you accept and the methods that you get to get those IDs.
Sure.
For example, North Dakota, when I was living there, tried to pass a voter ID law that would accept a conceal and carry license, but would not accept tribal ID. And it got banned by the North Dakota Supreme Court, overturned the law.
Yeah.
Because tribal ID in North Dakota is the driver's license for tribal members.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's discriminatory if...
Well, that just sounds discriminatory. Like, you don't even...
Well, you can't use your state-issued identification card if you're a band member, which is the main minority group in the state. Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and so, Mike, I had two great aunts growing up that were alive when I was alive, and I knew them. And they never drove. They never got their driver's license, but they had state-issued IDs. So you don't have to drive to get a state-issued ID, which maybe some people think you have to have a driver's license, but you can get a state-issued ID and vote just fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. The only method, or in my small mind, the way that a voter ID law nationally would work would be to have a free issued state identification card.
Yeah.
So subsidize the identification card so that...
Yeah. Take some of the money you're sending Ukraine or Gaza.
Yeah. And, just say, hey, like, if you need a state issued ID, you just have to go to the DMV and get one. It's free.
Yeah.
And make sure you have your proper paperwork together.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, libraries do this all over the country every day, and it's not a big deal. So I don't know why it'd be an issue to get a voting card. Like the library card, you know, you can go get a library card for free. Nobody charges you.
Right, right. I mean, like you said, and like everybody says, everybody that I know says, it's really racist to say that voter ID hurts people who are minorities. I mean, are you fucking saying that people who are minorities aren't competent enough to go and get an identification card? Like, that's ridiculous. Everybody has to have an identification card in this country. You have to. You can't go into certain places without an identification card.
Yeah.
You can't get on to public transportation. You can't do anything without an identification. So,
yeah. If you want to participate in society, you have to have some sort of identification card.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've ever gotten a job and not had to provide multiple forms of identification to my employer.
Yeah, you got
to
do your driver's license. My driver's license. Social security card.
Yeah, birth certificate. I know I had to. Yeah. It's like the same stuff you need to get a passport.
Yeah.
To get a job.
Yeah.
And they want a copy of your driver's license because most jobs have vehicles and they want to know if you're allowed to drive them or not, you know?
Yeah. Or you need to drive into the office and they need to know that you can legally drive into the office.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's tons of reasons for it.
Yeah.
But
there's a story somewhere that I worked that one of the sales people, you have to have a valid driver's license to be a salesman at this company. And this person went for years after getting his license revoked from a DUI by just Ubering everywhere. And nobody caught on until somebody saw him get dropped off in an Uber at the office. And they're like, what the fuck's going on, dude? And that was that.
Sure.
But I'm like, well, if you can make it work. Like, who cares? Like, if you're hitting all your appointments, like, who cares?
Yeah, I don't think I've told the story on air. Maybe I shouldn't, but I know I told you. At a place I worked, there was an IT person whose job it was to travel around and fix IT problems.
Yeah.
But this person didn't have a driver's license, so their boss drove them around.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you any more details about how they got hired, but
yeah,
they had other qualifications besides like having a degree that got them hired without a driver's license for a job that either, you to drive.
Big lips or big hips. I don't know. You tell me.
Ooh, that was spicy. that was spicier than I thought it was going to be, Nate. I won't tell
man,
you a lie.
It's spiced apple season. Get rid of that pumpkin spice. We're out. We're going apple now. So.
Yeah, it is stone fence time, as they say.
Yes. Mike, I don't want to smoke any more of this thing. It's terrible.
It's fucking disgusting. I have about an inch and a half left, and it is bad.
I've relit it twice already, Mike, and I don't know why. I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess. I have to do this. I have to do this because if I do anything higher, I can't rate the next one low enough, I feel. So I'm giving this one a 0.75. Like, this is, hands down, has to be the worst thing I've ever smoked, ever. I can't think of anything worse that I've smoked. And I don't like cigarettes, and I've smoked cigarettes, and I don't like cigarettes. But I'd smoke a cigarette over this thing any day.
I'm going to stick with the one, because...
This is fucking terrible, though.
This is bad. It's bad.
It's not good.
Unlike the cult, I think this is better than the cult. And I'll argue why.
Okay.
Because you can wash the taste of this out of your mouth with enough beer, where the cult, you couldn't. It was like a cutter. Like, it would cut through anything you tried to mask it with.
See, but I don't know that you can do that, because this is all I taste in my mouth. But
it's pretty bad. Like, I need to open up another beer, but I'm going to wait until end the episode.
Me too. Because, like, I try to limit myself to two an episode. So that I don't get season one finale belligerent. And this one, I was like, oh. So I discovered something that's real good. They have Waterloo Sparkling has an apple cider or spiced apple, like LaCroix thing, right? It's one of those sparkling beverages that was stored near spiced apple. But if you mix that with vodka, it's very, very nice.
Oh, okay.
And I was debating, like, oh, should I just like run and go grab one of those to get through this cigar? But I didn't. But that's how bad this cigar is that I'm like contemplating all these other things I could drink to get rid of the taste and forget about the taste and stuff like that. So I think this is not a good cigar at all. And I don't, so far, I mean, we've smoked three of these Rico Baratos and they've all been terrible. So
they're
can't
bad.
Wait for next episode.
It is horrible. Horrible.
Yeah. This is even worse than the Torpedo. And I thought for sure this was going to be moderately better, because that's typically been our experience, is the Robustos have been pretty fairly consistently better than the Torpedos. But they outdid themselves with this one. So,
yeah, I cannot recommend it. If you see a Rico Barato,
don't be tempted by the price.
Yeah.
Get away from it.
Don't be tempted by the price. Stay away. We're going to smoke the Maduro next.
Yep.
And I can tell you, people, I'm not looking forward to it at all.
Well, you know what? Listen next week to find out if this week was our lowest point or if next week will be. Thanks for listening.
Be safe. Have fun.